Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hello, everyone. This is Neil. And yes, before you say it, this isn't my usual introduction to the Neil Reynolds podcast. If you remember from our last episode with Lamar Jackson, we ended with the announcement that our new podcast, Game Picks, was launching on the 10th of September. So with that in mind, we wanted as many of you to hear our new show. So we've added it to this feed as a one-off. If you like what you hear from Game Picks, why not subscribe wherever you get your podcasts? And before we get to the actual show, just one more announcement. The Neil Reynolds podcast is now dropping every Tuesday throughout the NFL season. It changes nothing if you're subscribed, and our first pod drops next Tuesday, 15th of September, with Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins. And now to Game Picks. We hope you enjoy the show and subscribe so you can share in the fun all season long. Thanks for listening.
I'm Darren Fletcher, and this is Game Picks.
Hello, and welcome to Game Picks, the preview podcast where I go head-to-head with my friends from around the NFL to see who can cut it when it comes to deciding the winners and losers every week. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds. My first guest this week is an old friend who we worked together on BBC Radio 5 Live covering the NFL. We hosted the Inside the Huddle podcast together. He's now the host of the Fumble podcast. And of course, I'm not just saying this because he's a mate, but he is the best football commentator in the business. If you want him on the big Premier League occasions, Champions League nights, you want Darren Fletcher on the mic. Fletch, how are you, mate?
Well, after that, I'm absolutely superb. I probably as good as I've been for quite some time, actually, after that. So yeah, I'm tremendous now, absolutely tremendous.
I've got to ask. I mean, viewers, listeners won't understand this, but you had the best downstairs toilet. We used to fill your bag every time you'd come to NFL offices with memorabilia and swag. You must have one of the best man caves in the business.
I've got a brilliant office now, yeah. So I've moved from, as I've gone up in the world, I've gone from the downstairs loo to an office. So, yeah, and Lauren, my wife, said, look, you can do what you like in the office, but you're not having anything anywhere else. But I've got a TV room that joins the office. So I've gradually managing to move into there very slightly as well. So in the television room, I've got a signed Lawrence Taylor picture and a signed Brett Favre picture. I've got a hat in there signed by Russell Wilson. And then the pride of place, on one side on the little table, there's a Cowboys helmet signed by Emmett Smith. And on the window ledge are a pair of Jim McMahon's game-worn cleats. So they're in the telly room. So I've got loads of stuff in the office, but the really important stuff is in there. So far, she's okay with it.
Well, it's fantastic. And you've always worked double duty. Whenever we've hosted the tailgate parties outside Wembley Stadium, you know, you've been on stage entertaining the fans, but also getting all that stuff signed backstage. Fair play to you.
Oh, yeah. Listen. This is the opportunity you've got to take. You know, I mean, I suppose that was supposed to be a secret between you and I, but everybody knows about it now.
Yeah, I forgot about that. It's because you never asked me to sign anything.
No, exactly. Well, you do enough of that. You do enough of that in the crowd, so I thought I'd leave that. But no,
it's great. Man of the people.
Yeah, I think this is what we've got in common, isn't it? You know, we both absolutely love the sport, but we love it as fans as well as broadcasters. And I think that provided you can keep that connection to the sport that you cover, and I know that you do and will continue to do so with the NFL, then I just think it makes this whole opportunity that we've got even more special than it is, than maybe we realise that it is, you know?
Yeah, and it comes across that passion you have yourself and Vernon with the Fumble podcast. I mean, everything we've ever done together, we sit there like a couple of fans. And so we are going to predict week one in the NFL. It's finally here, and we'll probably predict like a couple of fans, to be honest. But
if I recall, you did this better than I did. When we used to do this on Inside the Huddle, you were way better at this than me. I think I've got to admit that.
Why do you think I asked you first?
Yeah, there's a method in your madness. I did actually suspect it might be that.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get to our game picks then. Okay, now we're into our game picks, the part of the show where Darren and I go head to head with our predictions. Week one of the NFL is finally here. And we're going to start with, I'm going to call it the Big Six. Fletch, my producer, Gary Hayes, has listed this as the Hot Six, but that just doesn't sound right to me. So we're going to go Big Six games. We'll look at some of the Big Six games and then we'll cover off everything else. But let's start Thursday night football, Houston at Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes has never lost. You know, I like a stat. I'm going to drop a few stats as we go along. Mahomes has never lost a September game. Not a lot seems to have gone right for Houston since they led by 24 at Arrowhead. Who are you going for on opening night and why?
I mean, the thing with Mahomes, he's not lost many games full stop, has he? Whether it be right. September, October, November, December, or whichever month you want to pick.
I can't
see anything other than a Kansas City win, and I can't see it being anything other than a shootout. You know, and I certainly think that Houston will put plenty of points on the board themselves, and we expect that every time we see the Kansas City Chiefs. I just get the feeling, though, that the way the Chiefs' defense finished last season, the way it finished in the regular season and through the playoffs when it needed to, I just give them the edge in that regard. So I think Kansas City win it. I think it's really high scoring. And I think it's the perfect way to start the season. It's exactly the game that you want to see to get everybody's appetite whetted for what's about to come.
Yeah, two of the big stars of the NFL, of course, in Mahomes and Watson. For me, Fletch, one of them's got a supporting cast. You know, when you look at what Mahomes has got with Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman, Travis Kelce's back, you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the rookie running back that everyone's raving about. You know, and I just go back to Houston and they pulled the rug from underneath Deshaun Watson, trading away DeAndre Hopkins. That, to me, is the difference in this game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. But I do think that Will Fuller, if he can stay healthy, is primed for a big year. And I think they're hoping that David Johnson can be the David Johnson that we saw burst onto the scene in Arizona. And I think if they get that, then that's going to be big for them. If they don't, then I think they're going to find it hard to compete within their own division. But the only question I've got with Mahomes and the Chiefs is, will it take a few games for him to work out how he's going to use all of the weapons? You know, sometimes you watch it and you think, well, he's got so many players, but will the game plan be as fluid as it needs to be when he's trying to feed everybody during the course of 60 minutes? I just wonder whether it might take two or three games for that just to settle in. Andy Reid's new plays to settle in, because there's going to be a few of those, that we might see the best of Kansas City maybe from week four onwards. I mean, there's every chance, as you say, that they hit the ground running with all of those potential game breakers on the field. But that would be the only thing that I'd look at for them and say, that's a question I'd like to see answered.
Yeah, certainly a good problem to have if you're Patrick Mahomes. So let's move on to the second of our big six. Miami at New England. So week 17 last year, Miami went into Foxborough. They upset the Patriots. They changed the face of the AFC playoffs. Can they do it again? Cam Newton, of course, starts. It's a historic night in New England. Fletch, he's lost his last eight starts. That's where I begin with this one. I don't know what kind of Cam Newton we're getting.
No, I'd agree with that. And I think his health over the course of the season is going to be a big concern for Bill Belichick. I wonder how often he's going to allow Cam Newton to run, which is obviously what made him such a special quarterback, that dual threat that he brings. I like Miami a lot better, a lot more than a lot of people do. I mean, I've had a little sneaky £2 that they'll win their division. I think at 9-1, the way they finished the season, they're well coached by Brian Flores. They've signed a lot of good defensive players. I think that unit in particular, especially the defensive secondary, is going to be a lot better than it was last year. Preston Williams coming back alongside Devante Parker and Mike Gesicki kicking on from where he was last year, I think is big for Miami. And I think in a division, you know, where there's no clear favourite.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins win it. I'm not convinced by the Bills. A lot of questions to be answered about the Patriots. And while, yes, I've got lots of questions about Miami, I could see them taking quite big strides this year. There is always one team every season that surprises you. And for some reason, I'm convinced that this year that's going to be your Miami Dolphins.
Oh, I can't get on board yet. Are you picking Miami to win this game then?
Yeah, I'm going to take Miami to win. Right. I think they'll win 10 games this year, and I'm going to pick them to upset the Patriots week one.
I'm going to bottle it. I'm going to go New England. I'm going to stick with Bill Belichick. I think you're right. There's lots of question marks. Cam Newton, Dante Hightower's out, opted out due to COVID. Patrick Chung opted out. Who are the receiving weapons? I like what you're saying, but I'm going to go New England. Let's move on. Green Bay at Minnesota. Big one out the gate in the NFC North. And Green Bay kind of had their way. Here's the difference for me, I think, if Minnesota are going to kick on, Fletch. They went 0-4 last year against Green Bay and Chicago. You've got to start winning those division games if you're the Vikings, starting right here. Who do you like in this one?
I like the Vikings, Neil, and I like the Vikings based on talent alone. I look at the two rosters, and I think there are better players in key positions on the Minnesota roster than there are on the Green Bay roster. I didn't like Green Bay's record last year. I didn't think they were as good as the numbers suggested, and I can see regression. I don't necessarily think that Rodgers has the requisite number of weapons that he needs. I think it was a waste of time drafting the quarterback. They should have given him a wide receiver, and they chose not to do that. And I can see Minnesota potentially being the class of the NFC North this year, and I think they kick off with a win against the Packers. I think the Packers will have it all on this year to qualify for the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm going Minnesota as well. Just interestingly, Fletcher, I wonder if we'll ever look back on this Aaron Rodgers era, and Packers fans might think it was wasted in a way. You know, where there's that wonderful stat that's been around in the offseason where Rodgers has thrown one career touchdown pass to a first rounder, and that's Mercedes Lewis. The Packers were one of 10 teams not to draft a wide receiver in this most recent draft. I mean, it's almost like they're going, go on, Aaron, you're all right. You can make it work.
Neil, I agree. And I think that when you look at Aaron Rodgers, the numbers that he had last year, it looked like a regression, didn't it? But I think it was based upon the players that were around him. You know, the most reliable weapon for Aaron Rodgers last year was Aaron Jones, and they became a running team. And they've drafted AJ Dillon this year. They've still got Jamal Williams. The wide receiving core is thin. I think if you want to see Rodgers back to his best, you've got to give him weapons. There aren't many quarterbacks in NFL history that have big years when they've not got big-time weapons around them. And Rodgers needs that. And I agree with you. I think if they want to get the best, if they want another Super Bowl out of the Aaron Rodgers era, they've got to put some players around him.
We're both going Minnesota there. Then let's move on to the AFC North game, Cleveland at Baltimore. I mean, expectations will be a bit lower in Cleveland. I mean, the talent level is still there, but last year the hype train was out of control coming out of the gate. I don't feel like it's that way this year in Ohio. You leaning towards Baltimore here, Fletch?
I'm leaning towards Baltimore quite big. But I do think overall this season there will be a more sensible approach and a more thought-out approach from Cleveland. I think Kevin Stefanski going in there is a good fit for them. I thought the coach last season was way out of his depth. And I thought the lunatics were running the asylum by the end of the season. I'd expect to see Baker Mayfield progress, and I'd expect to see the offense have a lot more balance. They've got two very good running backs in Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, and they've got a whole host of receiving options at wide receiver and tight end as well. But I think that Baltimore will quite possibly win the Super Bowl this year. I certainly think they will just edge it past Kansas City in the AFC. So if that's the case, just kind of following that logic, I can't then predict that Cleveland are going to beat them week one. So I've got no worries about Baltimore at all. I think they'll be better, not worse. And I think we'll see even more from Lamar Jackson and the cast around him.
I think one of the biggest signs of progress in Cleveland this year will be Baker Mayfield looking like he hasn't just got up.
Yeah, well, perhaps he won't just have got up this year. Perhaps he might be in the facility a bit earlier.
That might have been the problem.
I just think the fella last year, it was almost as if he'd won a prize to be a head coach for a year. I mean, it just looked completely... you know when you say someone was out-coached? I mean, he was out-coaching himself. I mean, it was crazy. Absolutely crazy. And every time he'd got to stand up and be a leader, he did something wrong again. I mean, it was crackers.
Yeah, Kevin Stefanski seems a lot less eager to please. I think Freddie Kitchens just wanted to be everyone's best friend as well, which is not the way you can do it. Let's move on to this is a fascinating one. Of course, it's a fascinating night because you've got Belichick without Brady for the first time. You've got Brady without Belichick for the first time. They've been joined at the hip for 20 years. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. You've commentated there, Fletcher. I'm going to ask you about that a little bit later in today's show. But this is a good time to go to New Orleans because the Superdome is empty.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that factor shouldn't be underestimated at all, particularly opening night. you know, where if they're ever going to find a few extra decibels, it's when they've not seen the Saints for a while. So I think that is big. What I would say with this, I'm going to side with New Orleans. Now, I think over the course of the season, if you said to me who's going to have the better record within that division and who's the more legitimate Super Bowl threat, I even think I'd go as far as to suggest Tampa Bay. But I think they're a work in progress. And I kind of like, I like what I know week one. And I know what I get from New Orleans. And Drew Brees knows what he's going to do with Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara and everybody else. And I think Tom Brady might just take a few weeks just to work out the way that's going to go. And they've got to work out who the lead back's going to be, whether it's going to be Ronald Jones or whether it's going to be Leonard Fournette or whether it's going to be somebody else. What's Gronkowski's role going to be in the offense? How's that going to look? So I think they'll be a better team in the second half of the season. So I like the Saints to win the game on opening night.
We just talked about Baltimore there as your Super Bowl pick out of the AFC. They're mine as well, but New Orleans are my pick out of the NFC. I think they're ready to make that run. The playoff heartache has been there. The last 3 years, they've lost absolute heartbreakers. I think adding Emmanuel Sanders brings another dimension to the offense with so much attention on Michael Thomas, and even then he caught 149 passes. So, you know, I think it's really looking complete for the Saints. But I did say at the start of this podcast I was going to pick like a fan, and I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, Fletch. I'm going for Gronk. I'm going for Brady. I just think they're going to be so much fun to watch. But I think you make a good point. I'm picking Tampa Bay, but it's going to take time. I get
they're my NFC Super Bowl pick, Tampa Bay, because, and this is where I'm maybe going as a fan, and I look at last year, and I think that if Jameis Winston looked after the ball better, they would have been a playoff team last year.
Yeah.
And they threw games away late by making mistakes, and they won't make those mistakes this year. Brady will certainly manage the game better for them. They can get to the quarterback on defense, which is huge. And that was a defense as well that played much better in the second half of the season. So if they need to carry that on, and I think if they do, then I think it's going to make them very, very hard to beat, because all of a sudden, the Patriot mystique now belongs to Tampa Bay. That no player, no team wants to go into a playoff game and have to beat Tom Brady. So I think that could be a little added factor for them come playoff time if they get there. And I think if they do, they'll go through that NFC side, and I think they'll represent the NFC in the Super Bowl on their own field and make a bit of history by doing that.
Very interesting. Sense of urgency for the Bucs as well. 67-year-old head coach, a 43-year-old quarterback. I mean, you can't accuse them of not being all in. They are going for it.
No, and I think, you know, when we've got been a load of questions this week, who's the lead back? Is it Ronald Jones? Is it Leonard Fournette? I think it's Ronald Jones. But I think Bruce Arians at 67 and Brady at 42 and Gronkowski back from retirement, they want as many pieces around them to win now. So if that means you've got to carry three potential starting running backs in case somebody gets injured, they're happy to do it because they're not building for tomorrow, they're building for today. And they just want to make sure that over 16 weeks in the playoffs, they've got enough game changes to make sure Brady's got the best chance to win. So I think that's the way Jason Light is working. And, you know, I think they're all in. So we'll just have to wait and see if it works or not.
All right, last one in the Big Six is still in the NFC. It's in the NFC West, Arizona at San Francisco. I'm just going to tell you right off the gate, I need to be braver because I wrote down Arizona for the upset, because San Francisco really struggled last year against mobile quarterbacks. I think, again, DeAndre Hopkins has come on board, you know, and I think that changes things in the passing game. But then I bottled it and I've crossed it out and I'm going San Francisco. Number one pass defense last year, strong running game. They're at home. I'm picking 49ers.
I'd pick the 49ers too, but I think this is the most difficult division to pick in the NFL because I think when we look at it, we all expect Kyler Murray to take a big leap this year. And you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins, which helps that. Cliff Kingsbury looks a good fit for them as a head coach as well. So I really like the talent they've got, certainly on offense, and I think they'll win more games. Seattle with Russell Wilson are always competitive. The 49ers are the 49ers. And there's enough on a Sean McVay offense to make the Rams a big test for anybody. So it wouldn't really surprise me too much whoever wins that division. But I just think on opening night, you've got to go with a team that's been there and done it. It's probably the most talented roster in the whole of the NFL. So I would go 49ers too. But I think that's going to be a fantastic division to watch and may well come down to week 15, week 16, week 17 to work out who's going to be the winner of it.
as it did last year when San Francisco made that stop on the Seahawks guy at the one-inch line and it changed the whole shape of the playoffs. I mean, the NFC West has provided the last two Super Bowl representatives from the NFC as well in the Rams and the 49ers. Let's race through some of the other games then, Fletch. Seattle, Atlanta. Falcons, they don't make fast starts. They really don't. I think Seattle are ultra competitive always. I'm going Seattle on the road, but it's a tough road trip. Who do you like in that one?
I'm going to take the Falcons, and I think the Falcons are going to be a great team to watch this year because I can't see them handing the ball off very often. I think it's going to spend a lot of time in the air when you think about Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley Hayden Hurst, the tight end. There's a load of weapons there for Ryan to use. I just think on the road, it's tough to win on the road at the best of times. Might be easier without the fans, but I'm going to go with an improving Falcons team. Mm. I'm relying on the Falcons D to play like it played in the last few games of last season. So I'm just going to take them in a relatively high-scoring game as well.
Yeah, last few games of last season, they won 6 of their last 8. New York Jets at the Buffalo Bills. I've got to go Buffalo here. Jets are in a world of hurt, aren't they?
I think I'm going to go who cares here. No, I'm going to go Bills. I think the Jets will be slightly better, certainly on offense, but I think the Bills... I think the Jets are the worst team in that division. I think the Bills win it easily.
All right. If you like your running backs, Las Vegas Raiders, Josh Jacobs at the Carolina Panthers. This is a tough one for me because I think the Panthers are in a complete rebuild, but I don't think the Raiders always travel that well. I am going to pick the Raiders, but it's a tough one, tougher than you think.
No, it's the Raiders for me. Okay. Too much. Gruden gets a big improvement year two. Josh Jacobs is a potential NFL rushing leader. Derek Carr, I think he'll be a lot more in tune with what Gruden wants from him this year. I think the Raiders can have a big year. I think they've got far too much for Carolina minus Cam Newton.
All right, Chicago at Detroit.
Oh, here we go. This is the one we've been waiting for.
We haven't got time.
This is the one. Chicago win the game. I don't know how. I don't know how Trubisky's got the job. I don't know why Nick Foles would want it. I don't know what's happening with my Bears, but I think they're going to win week one.
A glowing endorsement. I agree with you. Yeah. I'm going to Chicago on the road at Detroit, although Stafford is back, of course, at quarterback. Indianapolis at Jacksonville. I like this situation for Phillip Rivers and the Jags. It's like a revolving, well, it's not even a revolving door because no one's coming in. Everyone's just going out. I'm going Indy.
Somebody told me the other day that there was a quote from Tony Baselli who said that he expects the Jaguars to lose every game this season, 40 points to 30. So that would be 0-16. They get Trevor Lawrence and they score 30 points a week. And I can see exactly what it means. I just don't know how they stop anybody. So they're not going to stop the Indianapolis Colts. They're going to get beat week one, no problem.
Yeah, and we at least don't have to stand, and we love the Jags coming over every year. But we don't have to stand outside Wembley Stadium and work out how they're going to win that afternoon.
No, I think they've done us a favour because the next time we see them, they've probably got Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, and we're really excited about that. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Philadelphia at Washington. I think Philadelphia, of course, lots of injuries. They've lost some offensive linemen, but it's a long way back for Washington, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Washington will improve under Ron Rivera. And I think over the next 2 or 3 years, we'll see them become a contender because he's such a good coach. I like Terry McLaurin, the wide receiver on offense. I think Antonio Gibson will become a really good running back for them. But they're not in the class of the Philadelphia Eagles at the moment. So Philly win the game.
All right. The Los Angeles Chargers at the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow has not lost a game since November 2018. Does he lose one on Sunday?
Do you know, I'll say yes. But I'm not saying it with any conviction. I think Tyrod Taylor at quarterback is a big problem for Keenan Allen and for those offensive players. I'm not convinced that Austin Ekeler can be an every down back at 190 pounds and 5'9", whatever he is. Mm-hmm. I think they've got to be careful there. Losing Derwin James at safety, again, is a problem for them. We saw how that affected them in the first half of last season. I think the Chargers will beat the Bengals, but I think the Chargers as contenders in their division, we can forget about that.
All right, I'm going to go for Burrow to win. I don't think it's the worst 2-14 team out there. I think you've got Joe Mixon, you've got AJ Green back, you've got Tyler Boyd over 1,000 yards, you've still got Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap, and Joe Burrow is going to give him the shot in the arm. So again, I'm just all in on, I'm overdosing on Kool-Aid in week one.
I mean, I can't work out how you've... how you've bottled it picking the Cardinals, who have got a really good team, and you've gone for the Bengals against the Chargers.
I'm actually just making this up as I go along.
You've gone from the sublime to the ridiculous here in the space of about 10 minutes.
Fair, it doesn't take me long.
Nothing's changed, has it?
No, exactly.
I'm starting to get flashbacks now to Inside the Huddle.
I'm going to roll out a guarantee in a minute.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Dallas at the Rams, I'm going Dallas on the road.
Do you know, I think Dallas will be really good this year.
Yeah, me too.
Really do. And I think they'll just outscore teams. I think they'll win their division. And it wouldn't surprise me if they get to the Super Bowl this time. I think that they're too good for the Rams. I'm looking forward to watching Dallas week by week. Mm. And I'm fascinated to know what they're going to do with that wide receiving trio, whether it's going to be Gallup or Cooper, CD Lamb. I don't know what they're going to do, but it's going to be great watching them try and fathom it out.
Yep, last two then. Monday night games, Pittsburgh at the New York Giants, Tennessee at Denver. I'm going Pittsburgh to win in the Big Apple and Tennessee to win. What a loss for Denver, losing Von Miller this late. Because there were so many good vibes around Denver. So, you know, with Drew Locke and all of that. And then to lose someone like Von Miller this late in the summer or right on the eve of the season, devastating.
I think the Giants could find it really hard in general this year.
Yeah.
I've not got a great deal of confidence in them at all. And I think Pittsburgh will go as far as Ben Roethlisberger's elbow
Agreed.
Can take them. You know, mm-hmm. that's kind of win or bust, isn't it, for them? From a Denver standpoint, the other concern I've got with them, I want to see more of Drew Locke. And I look at all the second-year quarterbacks. I've got more concern that he might regress than a lot of the others. But he's got decent weapons around him. So, you know, Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, they've got a couple of decent running backs in Melvin Gordon and Philip Lindsay. But I just think Tennessee are a good team. I think they're number three in the AFC. I think the other two are away and clear, Kansas City and Baltimore. But I've not seen anybody in the conference get near to them. And adding Clowney to the mix as well, if he can be disruptive on the defensive line, could guarantee that they have another good year.
All right, so we're both going Pittsburgh and Tennessee in those two.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so I make it, just to tally up, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 different.
Okay, I've come from Miami, your
team.
Yeah,
exactly. I like it, Fletch. Yeah. I like it.
4 right's good, though. 4 different is good.
Yeah, that's a comprehensive win for me if I get all them.
You are, yeah, it is, yeah. It's a comprehensive win for me if it goes the other way. I've just noticed.
All right, Fletch, this has been a lot of fun, as I thought it would be. I do feel like we've gone back in time and are in the Inside the Huddle studios. But maybe tell some of our listeners how you got into the NFL. Is it the same as me, child of the 80s and all that?
Child of the 80s, the Wonder Years, and NFL on Channel 4. Nicky Horn sat on a heated bench in Soldier Field with a big long coat on, and I was hooked from that point. 85 season was a great one with the Bears winning the Super Bowl, and then the sport exploded in the UK. Played for the Nottingham Caesars when I was a kid, so had a bit of a game myself, and I've just been obsessed with it ever since. I love the sport, I love everything about it, and the fact that I've been privileged enough to be able to get as close to it as I have, something that, you know, when I first sat down on a Sunday tea time at 6 o'clock and watched it, it seemed impossible. It seemed like another universe, you know. But so to actually be able to almost mix with it to a certain extent has been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah, we had some fascinating and fantastic times on BBC Radio 5 Live with the NFL coverage on Sunday nights. And we got to do a lot of live games as well. So where's the best and worst places you've commentated?
I mean, it's great to be in the Superdome in New Orleans, and it was great to be in the Cowboys Stadium for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
One that I really enjoyed was Arizona Stadium, because I thought it was very similar to a European football ground. It was very atmospheric because it was really steep. But I think the best and the worst in one answer would be when we did the NFC Championship game in Candlestick Park, and we didn't have a commentary position. When we got there was a wire at the back of the end zone, and the press guy, the 49ers, said, "You can do it from here." And we said, well, we can't see. We're at pitch level and we've got the cheerleaders in front of us and we're broadcasting on national radio. And he said, well, just go and find yourself somewhere. And if it's decent, you can do it from there. So we found a decorator's table actually on the scoreboard. So he said we could do it there. But to get there, you had to jump across this. You had to go into a room that said, do not enter. and he had like a lightning bolt on the door because it was an electricity station. So we had to go in there where you shouldn't go, climb up a ladder, get onto a concrete wall, jump across onto another concrete wall that was about 3 feet away with a big drop in the middle, and then you could climb up and get onto the painter's table. So we were on there. Then it started raining, as it always does in San Francisco. So myself, Simon, and Alistair Kirkwood were sat on this screen. You can see us at the end that Lawrence Tyne kicked the field goal. We're sat in the scoreboard commentating, which, I mean, they knocked the place down just after. So that was kind of the best. I'm thinking, how many people have done this? You know, in all the history of Candlestick Park, how many people have sat in the scoreboard and commentated? I can't think many will have done. But the other one would be Soldier Field for another NFC Championship game. The year the Packers won the Super Bowl in Dallas, and Aaron Rodgers beat Brian Urlacher, and it was cold. I mean, I've never been as cold in my life. And during the course of that game, my body started to shut down, and we got through the game, and it was so cold, and we were stood on concrete, and it was unbearable. And when I got back to the hotel, this was the early game, so we got back to the hotel probably 6 p.m., 7 p.m.,
yep.
And we were supposed to go for dinner, and I got in bed to try and get warm, and I woke up at 2 o'clock in the afternoon the following day. I was so cold. I think my body just literally stopped. Shut down to wait till I got warm again, and it was unbelievable. I've never been so cold in my life.
Well, earlier in that same playoff series, if you remember, the Packers were on the road. They played at Philadelphia, and myself and Greg Brady did that game.
Right.
And literally, it was freezing in Philadelphia as well. I mean, a lot of these places, when it's the winter, of course. We're in Philadelphia. Myself and Greg, we walk out to get the taxi to the stadium, and literally I walked outside, and it was like bone achingly cold, and we knew we had a spot like you had at San Francisco. We were in amongst the fans, just on a kind of what was a TV camera position with a desk there. And literally, I said to Greg, "Hang on a minute." I had to run back upstairs, put on my long pajama bottoms under my jeans, and then run out to the stadium when you're out there for so long, it just can really hit you.
Neil, I could have cried, and I tell you what, I had to go and buy more layers. So what I put these clothes on expenses, and they were saying you can't do that. And I said, listen, I would have died if I didn't buy these clothes. I would have died. What do you mean I can't have them? I've not bought them for fun. They were the only ones I could get my hands on to stop me expiring during the course of the NFC Championship game. What's the matter with you?
But buy a lot of NFL merch for fun as well.
That was probably held against me in some way, shape, or form.
Your previous track record.
strike that. Edit that out. Yeah.
We'll get rid of that bit. Fletch, this has been a lot of fun. I'm supposed to have a different guest on every week during the season, but I reckon we can do this again, can't we?
Listen, whenever you want me to do anything for you, I am a guaranteed yes. I've really enjoyed it. Use and abuse. Give me a call. Whenever you want me on any of the podcasts, I'm here for you. No problem at all.
All right, good man. So just before we go, let's make sure you head over to our social channels. We're at the NR Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, where you can track our picks and scores throughout the season. My thanks to Darren Fletcher and for all of you to listening. Now, as you may have heard, I've released another podcast earlier this year, aptly titled The Neil Reynolds Podcast. Some of you may even be streaming game picks on the Neil Reynolds Podcast feed, as we've dropped our first episode there to give you all a chance to listen. If you've enjoyed this episode of Game Picks, be sure to subscribe to the main feed wherever you get your podcasts. The Neil Reynolds Podcast is now weekly throughout the 2020 season, and we've changed our publishing dates from every Thursday to every Tuesday. So your next episode drops on Tuesday, 15th of September, with our latest guest, Kirk Cousins, who follows in the footsteps of Lamar Jackson and a host of other talented big names from around the NFL. As for Game Picks, we'll be back with more fun and games next Thursday. In the meantime, head over to our social channels. We're at the NR Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Game Picks is presented by myself, Neil Reynolds. Gary Hayes is our producer, while Matt Alabaster is responsible for all of our artwork. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our music. Game Picks is a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network. We'll see you next Thursday for more Game Picks.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.